Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news, sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome again to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. On this show, we have just a tribute. It is pretty much the program about the passing of Nelson Mandela. We have, a lot of things to talk about. Nelson Mandela, his order of service has been released. Some facts about him. We're going to go through a 10-day mourning schedule. We also kind of have some other things to discuss. On Black Crime, the discussion of Indiana's University's apology for a racist Santa Claus display. And we have that. I don't know how much world of news and entertainment we're going to have today, but Mandela should take up pretty much most of that. Now, if this is your first time here and you don't know what Black on Black Crime is, the way we define it, black on black crime, is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. So welcome. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189 or hit us up in the chat room, or you can send us an email at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com if you'd rather send us an email. Now, last week's program, just in case you missed it, was a professor from the University of Vanderbilt. It was her versus the President of the United States against the POTUS. We also had a discussion about a 12-year-old student who was asked to cut her hair or be expelled. And we also kind of did our clip of the week from Arsenio, and it was a clip with Arsenio Hall. So I don't know if we're going to have anything that's coming up on Arsenio, but you know, I just want to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime just to talk about some things that are going on in the world. So we like to start off the show with just some news. So I'll do a little bit of quick news just to get the ball rolling on the program. And also, you know, before we do that, I just want to remind you, if you choose to call in, keep your comments relevant, avoid profanity, vulgarity, and obscenity, and we'll be all good. You'll get put on mute otherwise. So, again, welcome to Black on Black Crime. Now, if there was an announcement today, and if you plan on attending the Super Bowl in New Jersey next year, you'll have to go without the traditional pregame festivities. Now, there's been a tailgating ban for next year's Super Bowl, so there's no tailgating. The Super Bowl committee announced this today. Just thought I'd share for those who didn't know. There's a ban on it. And, you know, NBA, I won't say former NBA player, but Lamar Odom, who is in talks to go back into the NBA, has been, he pleaded no contest to DUI charges, if you don't know. And he's been sentenced to 3 years probation for misdemeanor out of court, or in L.A. court. So he is, free to play NBA basketball if that's what he chooses to do. So Lamar Odom is kind of on the move now, and hopefully, you know, Doc Rivers will bring him back. They did have meetings, and he met with the Clippers organization, so we'll have to see how this goes, and hopefully he'll be back on the court pretty soon. Now, just in case you missed it, Florida State quarterback James Winston thanked his friends and family and teammates after it was announced that the 19-year-old would not be would not have any charges against them. Now, we know that it's Heisman season and announcements are coming up soon, but it was proven that he did not assault her, or I guess it wasn't proven in court, but they didn't have any evidence to it because three of the four witnesses, minus the one person that's accusing, said that it wasn't so. So I'm glad to see that he was not charged. So get that out of your vocabulary and stop talking about that. He's a freshman, so he's a young kid. Now, a matter that's kind of dear to me because, you know, over the years, I would hear people make MC Hammer jokes after MC Hammer jokes, and I was the main one saying, MC Hammer, it's not as if MC Hammer is broke. He did file for bankruptcy, but that doesn't mean you're broke. So MC Hammer set the record straight via Twitter after reports had been going out that he was being sued by the federal government for owing nearly $800,000 in back taxes. Hammer tweeted that to his more than 3 million followers that he put over $5 million in the account and asked the IRS how much you want. He said they put it in writing, I paid them, and I got a receipt. So back up off of Hammer. Hammer does not have debts like that people need to keep playing him from so long ago. So we all know that his tax problems in the 90s were, you know, kind of infamous and everybody was on him, but he helped a lot of people out. So we need to set the record straight when we can. So back off of Hammer. Thought I'd share that. Okay. Now, I just had a couple of news stories I just wanted to let off about, you know, just kind of get off my chest before we start the program. And I want to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio on Ask Kathleen Network. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189 if you want to jump in on the program. Today we are talking about Mandela, or Madiba. Mandela is what they call him, but Madiba, who passed away this week and is expected, I guess, to be the largest funeral in history, largest service. So we have a lot of information on that. We also have a couple of other things that we're gonna talk about during the program, but we're going to talk about the order of service, some facts about Mandela. We're going to run down a little bit of his life in the chronological sense, and we'll see where it goes from there. So just want to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. Remember, you can hit us up in the chat room or send us an email at bobc@solasyracuse.com. And on that note, I think I want to take a quick break, get away for a minute, then we'll come back and let's do an African folk tale. I didn't do one last week. I thought I was going to, but we'll do a folk tale just to get, you know, a little perspective on this thing and come back with more of the show. But I want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in every week. We have great numbers, and I always look forward to reading your responses. So thank you to you, the listener, for being there. It keeps us motivated and doing the show. So we'll be back after this quick break. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. We'll see you in a second. We'll be back.
Wake up in your luxury bed and slide out of your luxury sheets. You get into your luxury shower and dry off with your luxury towel. You put on your luxury suit and your luxury watch. You grab your luxury coffee from your luxury coffee maker and add some luxury sugar. You step out of your luxury house and step into your luxury car, which makes everything else seem ordinary. Introducing the Acura RLX, with Jewel-Eye LED headlights and precision all-wheel steering. It's luxury taken to a whole new level.
You know, there are a lot of choices out there for late-night talk shows, but here's the reason you're going to watch mine.
It is off the chain.
And that's a guy dressed as a scientist. You can go now. I got this.
The Arsenio Hall Show.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 888-927-2498. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 888-927-2498. That's 888-927-2498.
Adidas and Adidas are sneaker leaders for years. You can say what you wanna, but my Adidas is here. The tire flyer no higher, like 40 men in a Jag. X and a rapper alive, the rib invented the swag. I'm in my pro model, set a model like the pro. I go full throttle, I'm a lot like Tarantino. White superstars with the three black stripes. I'm like a god when I'm rocking this mic. We roll hip hop and all of the sports. The man on the beat is a track, of course.
Susie is dying to meet you. You're clear of Kristen. She can't control herself around chocolate. She'll devour you.
Really?
I'd be a terrible friend if I didn't warn you. Gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us.
Anything for a friend.
Ooh, strong grip. Ow!
So, you want to grab a bite somewhere?
Here's fine.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Ah!
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You know, we have a good show today. We are pretty much doing a special program as a tribute to Nelson Mandela, who passed and who, you know, who life touched us all. You know, it's funny that even in talking about Mandela, we are going to talk about, we're going to look at ourselves in the mirror as a reflection. But before we get into it, just remember you can call in and join 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189 if you want to be heard and join in on a program. We also have the chat room open. If you would rather just talk there, that's fine. We can go in the chat room and take a look if you want. And you can also email us at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. That's bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. Now, while we're at this, you know, I'm just kind of trying to, you know, kind of feel my way through a little bit, because we also kind of have a few extra things that you may be interested in, and we may play a little bit of a rewind, so, you know, in our last half hour, just to give you a feel, in case you have never heard, or in case you want to know what Black on Black Crime is, we're doing a special about Mandela today, so we may play a little bit of a rewind just to give you a little sense of the show. So we'll see which rewind we're going to play, probably in the last half hour, maybe. All right, so with the passing of Nelson Mandela, I want to start off the program by talking about the rewriting of history. So Reverend Al Sharpton spoke on the Sunday shows, like this past Sunday, about the dangers of rewriting history. He said, when it comes to the death of Nelson Mandela, America's relations with him, I think that for us now to sugarcoat that is a betrayal of history. So if you sugarcoat it, it's just a betrayal of history, is what Reverend Sharpton is saying on Meet the Press. He said, I think that it is a betrayal of history to act as though as Nelson Mandela evolved, the world embraced him. there was a real battle in this country. He said, let's remember that the ANC that he refers to were pursuing freedom. So it's above and beyond the thought that somebody would put them on a terrorist list just because they wanted to be free. So he, Reverend Sharpton, said, many of the communist nations embraced them. The country did not. This country did not. We chose the wrong side. The people in this country turned us around towards the right side. That set the stage for Mandela to evolve. But if you're drowning and someone throws you a raft to get out, you don't call them a rafter. You call yourself the one thing that is trying to you call yourself the one that's trying to stop them from drowning. I don't know what that means exactly, but he said those are the ones that threw him the raft in South Africa for the freedom fighters. So not the people who didn't throw him a raft. You can't really claim to be on his side way after the fact. So that was Reverend Sharpton, but I kind of understand what he's saying. So I wanted to start off the program by talking about we don't want to whitewash the passing of Mandela because this is where people rewrite history as we go along. So I wanted to start off the show with that. I see our commissioner is on. So, Commissioner, when you're ready, hit one. We're going to kind of freestyle a little bit and talk about Mandela and Mandela's passing. That would be Madiba or President Nelson Mandela. Some people kind of forget that he was the president of South Africa. So we want to start the show off with that. Now, if you're not familiar with the time frame of the passing, or sorry, the time frame of the life of Nelson Mandela, hey, I can help you with that. Now, one of the things I just wanted to cover generally was Nelson Mandela was born in 1918, and one of the quotes that he often used when he went to people's services was a Shakespeare quote from Caesar, you must know, and the quote says, "Cowards die many times before their death. The valiant never taste death but once." And so since that defined him, I thought I'd start off talking about one of his favorite quotes as we start off talking about the leader known as Nelson Mandela. Now, he passed away in Johannesburg at 8:50 on December 5th. He was born to African he was born the son of a chief, so he was a descendant of kings of the Thembu people, and 1918, that's when he was born. He was the first in his family to attend school, and his teacher gave him the English name Nelson in place of his given name, which I cannot pronounce, but his African name is, it means troublemaker, but that's what he gave him. In 1952, Mandela opened the first black legal firm in South Africa with Oliver Tambo, and provided free or low-cost legal counsel to many blacks who would otherwise have been without legal representation. Now, if you don't know, he went to court. He was judged, the prosecutor, the jury, everyone in the audience or viewing the proceedings were not black. And so Mandela said, this has to stop, kind of thing. And he actually made a commitment to representing blacks in South Africa because there was no one representing black folks at all. Now, in August 1962, after 17 months living on the run from the police, he was arrested, followed by being tipped off by the American CIA, by the way. And he was sentenced to 5 years in prison, but again, he went on the run. And 2 years later, in 64, he was captured and convicted of sabotage and treason. He was sentenced to a life imprisonment at the age of 46. So if you are above the age of 40 and think that everything is downhill from there, just remember he spent 27 years behind bars, but he didn't go in until he was 46. So all those accomplishments kind of put it in perspective of all the things you can do after 46 and then after another 27 years. But he spent 27 years behind bars, 18 years of them at the notorious, you know, Robben Island near Cape Town, where he tolled in a limestone quarry and for years was allowed only one visitor and one letter every 6 months. Now, even those small concessions were subject to just malicious delay and censorship by his jailers. So he would get one letter, one visitor every 6 months, and they still would delay them. So with that, I want to say in 1985, apartheid president P.W. Botha offered to free Mandela, or they offered him freedom, I should put it that way, if he would renounce the armed struggle. Mandela dismissed Botha's offer and said only free men can negotiate. A prisoner cannot enter into contract. So he stayed in another 5 years because of that offer. So as I hear people say that he fought for peace, Brother Mandela did not fight for peace. He fought for freedom. Peace is a part of the process when you're free. You got to be free first. So on February 11th, 1990, he walked free out of prison. So just to give you some chronological feel to Nelson Mandela, that is the gist of it. I'll fill in the holes during the rest of the show, but I want to start off by, you know, just finally just getting to give you some perspective on who Nelson Mandela was and what he means to everyone. I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. We're kind of doing a special show to talk about Mandela. And we also have some Black on Black Crime on the docket today. So if we get to them, we get to it. But if not, we don't, we won't. So I just wanted to make sure I said that. And welcome everyone to the show. I can't see if anyone hit the number on the phone. So if you are with us, I'm just going to open your mic. And if you want to jump in, feel free. Don't know if you hit one yet. But I know we have our commish on. And I know Kai will be joining us later. So commish, if you want to jump in, you can jump in at any time. We also... Hey... What did you say? Did I miss you? Okay. All right. I thought Commish was on. Kathleen, are you with us?
Give me a second. I'm sneezing.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll let you sneeze. You can just put us on mute.
Give me 4 seconds. I'm sneezing.
Okay. All right. We'll let you sneeze, but I'm going to leave your mic open, so you might want to hold the phone while you sneeze. And I'll keep going, but join us when you're good. Just covering some of the chronological order of Mandela before we really get into talking a little bit about him. Now, in 1990, he did visit New York City. He was given a key to the city from Mayor David Dinkins. Mandela said after his ticker tape parade in New York that I knew I had friends in New York, but I didn't know I had this many. And, you know, thousands of people lined up. Also, I think he went to a school in Brooklyn, and they said an estimated, 5,000-10,000 people were there. So Mandela, during his time in the United States, visited Chicago. He went to Oakland because of the protests and things that were going on in Berkeley. He wanted to acknowledge that because he was kind of watching them from South Africa. And you know, any place that had a problem with him was the Miami area because their mayor said something about Cuba's support for Mandela, so he had a slight problem there. But everybody really embraced Mandela, and that's where a lot of the pictures are coming out from, where you see the pictures of, you know, Mandela with all of these people from the United States. And, of course, he's seen Muhammad Ali a billion times and all of those good things. But his connection to the United States was big. And for him to say things like Chic was a big influence to him, because all he would listen to is We Are Family and all these other great songs that Chic wrote with Sister Sledge and some other folks that he listened to when he was in prison. after his first 18 years, he was pretty much in solitary, and no one actually heard of him for the first 10 years because the South African government would not even acknowledge where he was. So he was off the grid, came back, and, you know, was influenced heavily by Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Black Panther Party. He spoke in depth about knowing who John Lewis was, for example, and everybody in the struggle here. So as people start asking questions about what is it that we learned from him, he actually learned a lot because he was in prison during the 60s struggle of watching how we were handling things in the United States. And if it wasn't for Maxine Waters and, I can't remember the other guy's name, from the Congressional Black Caucus, who put up these sanctions in Congress and pretty much passed through, and Reagan tried to veto it, but they overrode Reagan's veto and passed the sanctions on South Africa. So the pressure on South Africa made them change policies, although Reagan and Margaret Thatcher was in support of P.W. Botha, who was the president at the time, in support of their regime, because they weren't free. They didn't have elected presidents. So P.W. Botha actually went to Margaret Thatcher asked for her help, and she said, before the sanctions kick in, you should release Mandela so that you can retain some power. F.W. de Klerk did that. P.W. Botha was gone, but F.W. de Klerk actually went to Margaret Thatcher. So when they released Mandela, it was just to retain power, and it was a power play. So they still didn't get friendlier, is what I want to say. All right, so you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're talking about Nelson Mandela. Let's see if our commissioner is ready. How are you feeling, Kathleen?
I have a little bit of a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those days, one of those weekends.
Oh no! And you and Kai both. Kai is in a bad way, having hers too. So, it's going around. So
yeah.
So you gotta take it easy on yourself.
Thank you. But I'm very happy that Mandela show tonight.
Yes, you know, I think it's always good to kind of clear up some of the misconceptions. And we didn't have a chance to talk about this, but, you know, normally, you know, we do a special show on talking about something so big. And knowing that, you know, President Mandela is probably going to have the biggest funerals in history. So
yeah.
We're already looking at, I think they had more than 70 heads of state RSVP to be there. And they're going to simulcast it in different stadiums around South Africa. So not just the 90-seat stadium that they're going to be in. They're actually having several other stadiums, you know, with big screens just to telecast.
Yeah, they should do that here. They should put it over at Rockefeller Center and over 42nd Street, like the one of the ball drops.
Yeah. Yeah, because okay. I'll definitely be watching. But it is one of those things I think we can't let history kind of pass us by and someone else kind of define President Mandela. Now, President Mandela, by the way, he relinquished power in 1999 just because he said it was time for him to move on and do something else. And if that is not being royalty, I don't know what is. When you have ultimate power and you say, I got other stuff to do, you know, it just kind of showed his personality.
Yeah, and, you know, raising up the other leaders in South Africa. He was so noble.
Yes. You know, one of the things that he did as well that I guess kind of goes under the radar is we know he and F.W. de Klerk won the Nobel Peace Prize, right? But what people don't necessarily know is Mandela was offered the Nobel Peace Prize, and he wanted to share it, because he thought it would make...
They won it together that year because he wanted to share it, right?
Right, because it was... F.W. de Klerk should not have gotten a Nobel Peace Prize. That is like the farthest from the truth of how South Africa was being run. You know, if you look at any of the films about the atrocities, he should have probably been in jail. But getting the Peace Prize was Nelson Mandela saying that he wanted to share his Nobel Peace Prize, and so Mandela insisted on it. It wasn't that he won it, it's that Mandela won it and said, I'll co-share it, because he knew that, well, I don't know what he knew, but it's a part of the concept that in sharing it, he would ease the tensions of the perception of hatred. And I think that's what Europeans fear in this country, is that when black people get power or our numbers change, that we're going to hate them like they hated us. I think that's what the fear is. And he diffused it, you know, pretty well.
Oh, well, I don't know.
No, I mean...
I honor him. I honor him, though, truly.
Yeah.
For just even the concept of it, of thinking of that, and really bringing people together, regardless of, you know, who they are, what they did, and just, you know, offering them an opportunity to see the walls of hatred come down. It's I can't say that it's difficult to hate someone who's being kind to you, but truly it's, you know, the concept of Christ-likeness, if you will.
Yes.
And loving your enemies to just loving them to righteousness if they can't find their way.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Yeah, and I would like to say he did a great job at giving that impression, because it was written, and he wrote his own memoirs, but he did not like F.W. de Klerk. Those guys did not like each other. And it's interesting that he rose above that for the sake of his people, because he did not like him personally. So to make him kind of vice president, I don't know if he was vice president or he had a position, but President Mandela appointed him. You know, through the ANC, they had total control of government, and President Mandela actually appointed him and didn't like him. So it's a part of the concept of when you lead, you have to be bigger than your own personal issues when it comes to leading people when you're in leadership. And again, Congress can use a good lesson to that in this country. Like, people have personal issues and they verbalize it like we should care.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, you know, and one of the things I actually wrote about this, as I was just saying, the passing of Nelson Mandela should remind us that the energy or the vibration of one man can change the world, and he stands alone in history and should never be compared to anyone else. He should never. There is no one on the planet that suffered like he did, and then came back and just did not take swings at people. I mean, so as we look at all of the, you know, conquering and all that stuff that happens over the last, you know, 100 years or so, you can't really compare Nelson Mandela to anyone. I mean, just for the sacrifices that he made and what he gave everyone else. So it's really cool.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Yep. And, you know, actually I wanted to ask you, did you actually see him when he was in New York, when he came?
I did not. No.
Oh, okay. Okay. No.
I've never seen or met him, and I had been praying that for the, you know, the last 10 years or so, that I would actually get to meet him and shake his hand. And unfortunately, I did not.
You know, I as I look through all of these old photos of Mandela and see all of the stuff from Michael Jackson to Whitney, and I know how much Whitney loved him. She actually spoke about it in great lengths, but to look at people like Beyonce, not just the entertainers, but the Dalai Lama and all those guys just kind of embracing him. Most of the stories that I've ever heard or seen on television, they just pretty much said that they were changed just by meeting him. And that has to be an interesting place to be, to feel that, the presence of someone's energy like that. So it was actually pretty cool to learn more and more about him. It actually also tells us a lot about ourselves as well when it comes to history in this country. So I started off this segment by talking about rewriting history. And when it comes down to it, we can really see how horrible Reagan was as a president just at looking at Mandela's story, because it was a part of the United States policy in his resistance of wanting to veto the sanctions against South Africa because of the atrocities that they were committing against 80% of the population, and having like a whites-only and, you know, had segregation to the fullest in apartheid, and Reagan actually supported it. It's
right.
Interesting looking at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We need not just leave it at Reagan, because it was going on well before Reagan came into office. So every other president supported it as well. It's just that it came to fruition where Reagan had an opportunity to do something about it and chose not to. But
right.
Yeah.
You're right about that. And you want to talk, and Clinton as well. I mean, Clinton came through, and even when he came, he gave him a visa or something, but he was still on a terror watch list, and the ANC was. So even after he was freed in 1990, coming here, it was a temporary visa to come here, but President Clinton didn't take him off of that list either. And the irony of him being taken off the list was by George W. Bush, actually took Mandela off. I guess he saw President Obama coming, because it was definitely going to happen when President Obama came.
Yeah.
But it was a shame that it took till 2000, I don't know, I want to say it was 2001, but that's when he first got there. So I'm not sure if he took him off in 2001, but it was early on in his presidency that he took, you know, Nelson Mandela off of that list. And he was president of South Africa and still on that list. This country is horrible about that kind of stuff, which I guess I shouldn't go into too much. All right, so listen to Black on Black Crime. You know, here's what we're going to do. We will take a break, but before our break this time, let me think of what our break is going to be. Our break this time is going to be Sun City. Do you remember that song, Sun City?
Uh-huh.
Remember?
Yes.
I guess it was Artists United Against Apartheid. So what's his name? Van Zant and Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. And those guys got together, put together a song with, I want to say George Clinton was in it. I mean, it was just a bunch of stars, and it happened after the USA for Africa stuff happened as well. So they put together a video, and it's pretty long. We're going to just play probably a couple minutes. We'll use our break time to play that, and we'll come back with more about Nelson Mandela. We'll talk about his services. There's some stories about, you know, what the 10-day observation is, so I'll go through the 10 days and what's going to happen in the order of service, and we'll talk about that after. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out, and we have Kathleen with a cold, so we're going to be a little slow. All right. Oh, by the way, Kathleen, we have we may talk about this. Torre made some comments about Don Lemon. I don't think there's going to be a black-on-black crime here. And I want to talk about the discussion of Indiana University. They apologized for some racist Santa Claus display. Did you see that?
I did not.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. You listen to Black on Black Crime. We'll be back after this message.
Sun City is the showplace of Maputatswana, one of the so-called independent homelands where South African blacks have been relocated. It's a lavish resort where you can relax and enjoy some of the world's headline entertainers. It's part of the reality of apartheid.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We're hanging out with our commissioner, Kathleen. How are you, Kathleen?
Oh, I'm hanging in. Thanks,
there you go. Now, I was listening to that song. Actually, I know it's long. That song is 7 minutes long, but I forgot that the Temptations was in it. I forgot about Run DMC. I forgot how many people participated in that song.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, that was powerful for the time, though.
It was a big deal. It was a big, every artist, black, white, and every other color was involved in that.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. I think they all pretty much came together, and it shows that when the people decide to do something different will get done. So not only were, you know, and I was saying this earlier, I remember our high school and everybody, you know, putting it in a yearbook about South Africa and what was going on the college campuses. And although, you know, people want to criticize what we can't do, we helped businesses and universities divest in South Africa, which made the chains to free him. So as a big part of his freedom was a part of the protests that were going on here.
Yes. And the other thing, too, was that do you remember what recently was going on with Alicia Keys and who was talking to her? Toni Morrison and a few other artists trying to get it right, you know, and it just reminded me of that, well, you know, to go back and think to what was happening with apartheid, because absolutely everybody was on board with that.
You're talking about the case where Alicia Keys she wanted to play in Israel, and the people of Palestine were saying that she is normalizing what's going on in Israel by ignoring what was going on in Palestine. Because normally when people go, they visit both places because it was their homeland before it was taken from them. So they're saying, make a stand, Alicia Keys, and just like in Sun City in South Africa, those artists were paid a lot of money just to perform one night in South Africa. So they made it so lucrative that luckily I can't remember the artists who refused to boycott, but there was a bunch of them. I remember they were saying, hey, they went for the money. I should have looked that up on the internet. But there's no credit was spilt, but I guess I can't say take the money out of their pocket. But they just kind of like the Republicans, even at that time, were saying some guy was being interviewed, and he was actually in Congress at the time, and he said that he was saying to his wife, we didn't know how Mandela was going to act when he got out, so he didn't vote for the sanctions because he just didn't want to leave the white folks vulnerable, is pretty much what he was saying. Isn't that sick?
He didn't want to leave what?
He was a Republican congressman, and he said the white folks who've been, you know, it's 20%, well, it wasn't even 20% white, it was 80% black or African in South Africa, and he said if they let him out, meaning Mandela, they didn't know if there was going to be repercussions to the white people there, and he said we were leaving them without protection. So he didn't want to vote for the sanctions because it would leave the white people there vulnerable.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Just anything. People would just say anything.
Well, I'm saying if that was his fear, though, he is on the wrong side of this thing anyway. Like, you can't take somebody's stuff. It's like squatting in someone's house. You can't take their house and saying, I'm going to call the police just in case they come back. It's like you don't live there. You can't go take somebody's land and then be afraid that they may want it back. We're not going to vote because they may want their stuff back.
And they fight for it because we were so evil to them and when we took it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Those dogs and stuff, they may remember all of that. So the story goes, now, Mandela's born in 1918, but his father in 1919, who was chief, had all of his land confiscated and his wealth taken from him by the government of South Africa. They took it when he was 1 year old. They took all of his father's stuff. So they figured, Mandela gets out, he's going to take it back. And that was a fear. I'm sorry. All right. So we're talking about we're observing the passing of Nelson Mandela, or Madiba, and knowing some of the articles that's being written about him, I wanted to make sure we talked about it on this show. And I want to talk about the order of service, because they did announce what the memorial service was going to be. So President Obama will speak alongside leaders from China, Brazil, India, and Cuba. Now, in the order of service, it has been released by Nelson Mandela's family for tomorrow, which is expected to be the biggest ever such gathering of world leaders in history outside of the summits. So it is going to be a huge gallery. The memorial will feature tributes by some of the anti-apartheid icons, family, and speeches from the UN Secretary General. He's going to speak, then President Obama, then Cuba's President Raul Castro, and several others are going to speak. Now, within the first 48 hours of him passing, 53 heads of state RSVP that they would be there. And the event is at the 95,000 person capacity FNB Stadium in Soweto. It'll begin at 11 a.m. with renditions of the South African National Anthem, and that's the only music in the order of service. Do you know South Africans' national anthem is in about 3 or 4 languages? It's like written into the national anthem.
So, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, one of the people who I really like is Brazil's president. I don't know, we did the story about Brazil's president. She's speaking, and she's the one that says, we need affirmative action in Brazil. It's about time that you can't have – Brazil as a country has the most African descent people outside of the continent of Africa. I think they have nearly 100 million people. So Brazil said, we need affirmative action. So their president is calling for that. She is also speaking at the service. So, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of criticism because, you know, you have Cuba's president, you have Brazil's president, you have China's president. All of those guys are speaking. But you have to remember the Western countries were pretty much backing apartheid. So you can't honor them by having – I mean, President Obama's there, but beside that, the family decided who they wanted to have, and that's who they chose. You know, Dilma Rousseff is Brazil's president. So also, the international dignitaries over 70 world leaders are expected, which is the event will also be broadcast live in other stadiums and venues across the country to accommodate all of the people who are mourning. And also, I think they're having I can't think of what they're doing, but I know there are going to be a lot of television specials and stuff. So, again, it is going to be the biggest thing in history, and we don't want to miss this moment of Mandela passing and his services. There's a 10-day observation, but we'll talk about that later in the show that is going on. But President Obama did write the introduction to Mandela's memoirs, in case you didn't know, The Conversations with Myself. As a student at Occidental College in Los Angeles, the president joined protests against the school's investments during South Africa's apartheid era. In 1981, the president focused his first public political speech on the topic, and he said, the day that he was released from prison gave me a sense of what a human being can do when they are guided by their hopes and not by their fears. And so that was his remark shortly after he died. He said, and like so many around the globe, I cannot fully imagine a world without – I can't imagine my own life without an example of Nelson Mandela set in it. And so long as I live, I will – do what I can to learn from him. So that was from President Obama. All right. Just wanted to make sure I put that out there. And remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We are just kind of covering some of the tribute that goes with the passing of Nelson Mandela. I didn't want to miss the opportunity to keep you informed on the history for Nelson Mandela. But before we take another break and get out of here, I want to do a really quick black on black crime with the commish. Well, we can make this black on black crime quick, and I want to ask you about this Indiana University apology. Now, the Cycle host, Torre, and CNN's Don Lemon, this is our black on black crime. Now, MSNBC Torre, who is the co-host of the Cycle, wrote on Twitter, he said he was calling out white leaders like Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, and CNN's Don Lemon. Now, the tweet says he's wondering why these white media leaders weren't speaking about white-on-white violence, and he lumped Don Lemon in with Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. So,
really?
You know, yes. So he kept going for about 10 tweets, and then he responded and clarified, and he said, "I'm sorry for confusing folks. White leaders was not meant to condone. Leaders of white people are not leaders who are white." He was just saying the people who white people listen to. So I guess that was him clearing you up, Torre. So okay. So was that a black on black crime that Torre called out somebody who's not white as a white leader?
So he says leaders of white people are not people who are white.
Right. He was just saying that you don't have to be white to be a leader of white people. Like, we don't say that and he's just speaking about the violence of white people on white folks. There's a ton of it, but we just pretty much don't report on it so much. But he was just saying, do you think that is being overlooked? And he mentioned Don Lemon. He's not bringing up white-on-white violence. So I know we're in black-on-black crime, but is Torre wrong for calling Don Lemon out for not speaking about white-on-white violence?
Well, in the true terms of black-on-black crime, we have to say no.
Okay.
In the true meaning of black-on-black crime, we would have to say no.
I just want to say I agree with you. Hey, and everyone who's on the line, if you want to jump in on this, just hit one on your line. We will bring you in. But I want to say no as well. He prides himself on being a reporter, and it's CNN's Don Lemon. It's not the black guy Don Lemon. He has not really proven that part. So that would be a crime that I just said that. But anywho, I want to say that I think that is not a black-on-black crime. He was just saying that people who have the media's attention, it's kind of how I interpret it, should speak up because you don't bring it up.
Right.
That was my take on it. Okay. So we're going to go with no? We're going to go with no on this one?
We're going to go with no.
All right. Well, that works for me. So in our next segment, see how quick black-on-black crime does go sometimes? Torre did not commit a black-on-black crime. That is the gist of our program normally in our entertainment section. But for discussion, what I had today, okay, was Indiana University apologized for this racist Santa Claus display. So in a racist Christmas display in Indiana University, stockings were hung, like Christmas stockings were hung with the questions over them saying, if Santa was black, would you be afraid to let him come down your chimney? If Santa Claus was a black man, wouldn't he only visit the ghetto? If Santa Claus was a black man, would all the presents be stolen? Now, they had that on a big board with a black Santa Claus and just different stockings hanging up with different sayings on the stocking. Now, but Indiana University has apologized. They said that the controversial display, you know, featured this headline that says, "Santa, over the top, can Santa Claus be a black man?" It was typed in all white, and the word black, obviously, was black. I think they were trying to be helpful. So the university claimed that the display was supposed to raise awareness and promote discussion on issues such as race, gender, and sexual identity. And the sign is being removed, is what they said. Okay. I'm done. I can continue with the apology if you like.
Well, yeah, I'd love to hear it. Because instead of what they wrote, what they should have written, was what had happened was.
That should have been the gist of their apology. What had
happened? They should have just said, "Well, hey, well, what had happened was, you know,
It really does sound like they're making this up on the fly. What had happened was, so here's what the rest of the, I guess, explanation was. It says the intention was to educate, not to offend, but we recognize the problem and apologize to everyone affected. Oh, I hate when they do that. All right, when apologies go that way. It says, while the intent was good, the execution was misguided, the university spokesman Mark Ladd said, had to say his name. So Ladd went on to complain that too many people now didn't know the context of the display and said he understands how people could get the wrong idea and think that it's racist. So he complained, and then he said he understood. That's it, Kathy. That is all he got. That was his apology.
Well, that's the wrong idea, but then he said he could understand how they got the wrong idea.
Exactly. I can understand why you complain, but y'all don't know what the context was, so you shouldn't complain. And I like when he says, I apologize to everyone who's affected. Like, if you're offended, fine, I'm sorry. But technically that means he's not sorry. So, okay, anyway, I just wanted to share that with Indiana University. I thought that would be something interesting for discussion for us, but it's really stupid. So I just wanted to let you know that those things are still going on, although we're discussing a happy day of Mandela and celebrating his life. And I don't know if you saw on television, but day and night from the time that he passed away, people have been outside of his house singing 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That is something interesting to be said about celebrating life. I think that they, as you know, there's always time to mourn, but a part of the celebration was singing. And I know it was, I can't think of the author. She's a professor as well, Dr. Joy DeJury. She spoke about going to South Africa or some other African countries, and she said she was so moved by the experience, she started crying. And what happened is all the women gathered around her in whatever village they were in and started singing. And she said she didn't understand what was going on, and they said, well, the translator was just explaining to her that if you cry, we'll sing to you. It's how they treat their kids and how they treat everyone. So she said her sister and all the, you know, 8 or 10 women was traveling with them said, listen, you need to stop crying, because when they sing to you, they say, okay, now sing us a song. And they say, you know, all of us can't sing. So it was really interesting. Yeah, it's like, stop crying, because we can't sing back. So, but just to see them singing and dancing, I think that it just does something to your spirit. So it's really cool. But I just wanted to, and it's really cool to experience and see that. So I just wanted to share that story and just remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. If you're on the line, you can hit 1, or you can jump in the chat room and give us some statements there. I was going to say some words of wisdom. I wasn't going to go there. But you can go in there and you know, kind of talk to us there, or send us an email at bobc@solarsyracuse.com. And also, you know, you can always hit us up on Facebook. We have our Facebook page, which is on Facebook at BOBC Show. That's on Facebook. So you can go on there and check that out. Just want to remind you, Black on Black Crime, we'll be back. I just want to take a breather. How about that, Kathleen? This is time for a breather because I know you have a cold, so. Which is
actually.
You know, from being a little under the weather, you know, you have to take a breather when you can, so. It's time to take a breather. You can call back. You can call us and join us, 909-265-9189. All right, we'll be back after this message.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving an edge to business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posting and toasting. All hail the king. And you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Before the sneeze, help protect with a spray. Before the tissue, help defend with a wipe. Before the cold and flu season, help prevent with Lysol. Because when you have 10 times more protection with each hand wash and kill 99.9% of germs around the house with each spray, those healthy habits start to add up. This season, a good offense is the best defense. And Lysol has your family covered because that's our mission for health.
Hey, it's me, Water. So you want me to be super amazing right from the faucet, but you think home filters can be a pain in the tuchus? Well, check this out. Booyah! Shazam! H2O. Hydrolicious. Look what I can do. Magic bananas. Adios, contaminos. It's the first faucet filter that installs with just one click and removes 99% of lead and microbial cysts. Check it out at purewater.com.
Remember, it's a black Toyota Avalon.
No way it is. It's an Avalon.
Is there a problem?
Just some down power lines up ahead.
Really?
Got some heat coming.
You're good to go.
The radically new 2013 Toyota Avalon. Unlike any Avalon you've ever seen before, only the name remains. Toyota. Let's go places.
Straight from Red Lobster Chefs to your table for a limited time. It's our seafood dinner for two for just $25. A handcrafted seafood feast made to share. First, you each get salad and unlimited Cheddar Bay biscuits. Then choose two from a wide variety of chef-inspired entrees, like our new honey garlic crispy shrimp or new seafood lover's linguine. Round out your seafood dinner with your choice of either an appetizer or dessert to share. Don't miss our seafood dinner for two, just $25. At Red Lobster, where we seafood differently.
Can we get busy?
Can we busy?
Can we do this?
Life through it.
Take all this echo.
Gone.
Give me some static.
You got it.
Hit me.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. There's no static on the program today. I just want to remind you that you can call in 909-265-9189. We are talking about the life of Nelson Mandela, and we're just putting out some information about what's going on over the next few days in the world. We had our commissioner, Kathleen, on. We did cover a couple of Black on Black Crime subjects, so just so that you're in the spirit of what the show is about, we did talk about some black-on-black crime today, but no fear, it is a joyous day that we get to celebrate the life of Nelson Mandela and kind of realize that the world is kind of bigger than our pettiness, and so it's actually cool. Now, before I get back into the program, you know, I started doing these African folktales just to change the impression of telling your kids stories that have no relevance to you. So here is a folktale called Why Mosquitoes Buzz in People's Ears. Now, if you live in the rainforest, here's if you live in the rainforest climates of West Africa, you may be familiar with the buzzing of mosquitoes and how humid it is. So here is guys, anywhere in southern United States, I'm sure you can you experience that. Now, the story goes, the folktale is, a very long time ago, when Ear was a beautiful woman and ready for marriage, there were several suitors wooing her. There were big creatures, there were small creatures, there were fast and sleek creatures, and there were slow ones. But they all professed their love for Ear and demonstrated their skills, and there was such an impressive array of skills that Ear had a difficult time making a decision when along came a mosquito. And the mosquito said, "I would like you to be my wife," is what the mosquito proposed. The Ear was so offended that by this affront, "Look around you," she cried. "If all the people and creatures in the whole world, out of them, what makes you think I'd entertain such a thought?" The Ear was distressed. "Marry you," she continued. "You will be dead before the week is over. You're not strong. You're weak. I will never marry you." So the Ear was exhausted from this tirade as she fell into her seat, fanning herself vigorously like she was trying to get that image of the mosquito out of her head. So meanwhile, the mosquito, who was really hurt by what the Ear said, it was very embarrassing to be talked about like that in front of all the other creatures who whispered to each other and giggled. Apparently, they all agreed with Ear. "Dead before a week is over," thought the mosquito as he flew away. He said, "We'll see about that." And from that day forward, whenever a mosquito sees Ear, he flies up to her and says, "I'm not going to try this, Emer, whatever," which means in English, "I'm here, I'm not dead." So if you hear a mosquito buzzing in your ear, it means "I'm here, I'm not dead." All right, so we didn't have that sponsored by anybody, but that's just an African folktale we thought we'd leave you with today on Black Crime. It's called "Why Mosquitoes Buzz in People's Ear." That's all they're saying. "I'm here, I'm not dead." All right, now I'm glad you joined us. 909-265-9189 if you want to join in on the program. And also, if you're already on the line, you can hit 1. I'll bring you in if you want to talk about what's going on in the world and our own tribute to the great former president of South Africa and Chief Madiba, Nelson Mandela. Now, if you don't know, I keep hearing people talk about Nelson Mandela as the first black president of South Africa. He was the first elected president of South Africa as well. So they didn't have a president prior to him. They had someone that they appointed as president for South Africa. So the first freely elected president of South Africa was Nelson Mandela, and he was black. So just in case you didn't know. Now, there's a 10-day observation mourning period that goes on, and so in South Africa. So day 1 through 4, according to the sources involved with the planning of the state funeral, the 10-day occasion will be combined with Western traditions as well as Mandela's native clan, the Thembu. The Thembu elders are expected to gather for the first ceremony called the Closing of the Eyes, either at his home or at the mortuary. That's within the first 4 days from day 1 to 4. Day 5, no formal public events are expected to take place. The 5th day, when mourners will have a chance to say goodbye to their beloved father figure during a service at Johannesburg Soccer Stadium that hosted the 2010 World Cup. So that is where the presidents and all of those guys will be, at the soccer stadium. Day 6 through day 8, the anti-apartheid hero's body is earmarked to lie in state at the union buildings in his hometown, where he was inaugurated president in May 10th, 1994. And on day 9, plans have been made for a military aircraft to fly Mr. Mandela to another part of South Africa, the main town in South Africa, in the South African province of Eastern Cape. I don't know what town that is, but they're going to fly him there. And then ANC leaders, local chiefs, and Mandela's family are expected to gather for a private night vigil. That's on day 9 and on day 10, which is Sunday, December 15th. Mandela will finally be laid to rest in the grounds of his family home, and where thousands of people, including heads of state, will gather for a state funeral. So that is the 10-day mourning period and the observation for Nelson Mandela. I wanted to share that today on today's program. Now, I know I did get a couple of responses and a couple of emails, and someone asked about President Bush. If President Bush, George W. Bush, they're asking if he, what does it say? Oh, if he is, oh, there's a warrant out for President Bush. How can he attend the funeral if there's warrant? Now, if you don't know, we've done a story in the past about the International Court actually putting a warrant out for former United States President George W. Bush for war crimes during the Iraqi war. And that is true, and they're still standing out there. And I said when I first read this that the only way that he can avoid this is to ride on Air Force One with the President of the United States, President Obama. And the news did come out today that he and his wife, along with former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, will be riding on Air Force One. So if you're worried about him getting arrested or something, some international incident happening, it won't happen because he's riding on Air Force One. So, but it is true that there is an international warrant out for George W. Bush, in case you didn't believe that that was still going on. I didn't see anything in any of the foreign papers about it being pulled back or anything, so I know that that is still out there. There's another question about Mandela, but we answered a lot of those things earlier in the program, and I just want to tell you that you can check this program out. If you came in late, you can check it out in the archives. I know we don't have a lot of time left in the show, but you can check it on the archives. That's solarsyracuse.com/BOBC. That would be www.solarsyracuse.com, Esprit Radio, /BOBC, or just espritradio.solarsyracuse.com. /BOBC, or you can check us on the Ask Kathleen Network on BTR on Blog Talk Radio. Just check out Ask Kathleen ACN if you want to check out some of our past shows. And we also have other shows in archives if you want to check those out as well. But I just want to welcome you to the show and say thanks for the notes and the questions that you have. Too bad I covered so many of the I'm looking at the questions now, and I covered a lot in the beginning of the program. Now, there were some well wishes and some statements, so I just want to read a couple of those about the passing of Nelson Mandela. One was from Tiger Woods, who tweeted, he had a chance to meet President Mandela with his father back in 1998. He invited us to his home, and it was one of the inspiring times I've ever had in my life. So that was Tiger Woods speaking about the passing of Nelson Mandela. Muhammad Ali, a champion for civil rights himself, said that he was deeply saddened to hear about Madiba's passing. What I will remember most about Mr. Mandela is that he was a man whose heart, soul, and spirit could not be contained or restrained by racial and economic injustice, metal bars, or the burden of hate and revenge, is what Ali said. He taught us forgiveness on a grand scale. He was a spirit born free, destined to soar above the rainbows. Today his spirit is soaring through the heavens, and he is now free. He is now forever free. That was Muhammad Ali speaking about Mandela. Now, Mandela's South African comrade, I guess is how they put it, the first archbishop, he's the first black archbishop of Cape Cape Town, I guess he's emeritus, but he's Bishop, Archbishop Desmond Tutu. He wrote an article on his friend's passing saying that the world is a better place because of Mandela. He was not only an amazing gift to mankind, he made South Africans and Africans feel good about being who we are. He make us all walk tall. And that was from the retired, I don't know what you call him, but he's a retired Archbishop, Desmond Tutu. So I want to make sure I round out by saying that and, you know, kind of putting that out there. Everyone had, especially, again, in the United States, had a collective support and energy for the former president and chief in South Africa. So I want to make sure I put all of that stuff out there in one shot and remind you, you are listening to Black on Black Crime. I'm kind of stumbling over this because there's so much to be said about Nelson Mandela. But I, again, wanted to make sure that we talked about this from the perspective of clearing up the myths and getting some general understanding. Now, our correspondent, and I guess I can call him correspondent, and one of the co-hosts on this program, Daniel Woodson, has reviewed Mandela, the Idris Elba. I'm sorry. Kathleen is going to hit one and kill me for this. She and Kai in their Idris Elba, whatever his last name is, his version of Mandela, which was playing in the theaters the night that he passed with the prince and his wife. I can't think of their names for some reason. But Daniel is reviewing that. We're not allowed to talk about it before Friday. So we'll have Daniel give us his review of Mandela, starring, it's Idris Elba and Naomi, I can't remember the co-star. But I will have all of that down on the next show to let you know. But I'm sure it was a good movie. And, again, it was the Queen of England said that the timing of the movie and him passing was startling. That's not what she said, but I'm just going to put those words in for her. So if you get a chance to see it, the release date, I think, is Friday. So if you get a chance to see it, it's Mandela. And a lot of people are wondering about how the ratings are going to be and how it's going to turn out, being that he passed. But I think because of what's going on television and what's going on in the funeral, the 10-day mourning period, I wouldn't expect a huge turnout, but I would expect a big turnout. And then after that, I would expect a bigger turnout for Mandela. So looking forward to seeing that and hearing Daniel's review on Mandela coming up. We'll have it on, maybe we'll do it on the next show. And the biggest thing that I forgot today, out of all things, today is author, columnist, and our co-host, Kai Sims' birthday. I cannot believe I should give her the standing ovation for that. Matter of fact, let me see if Kathleen is available for this. Kathleen, if you're available, let me know. I know we probably have me on mute, but I forgot to wish Kai a happy birthday. Okay. So if you're not available, that's cool. But I know Kathleen is gonna yell at me because I miss saying that at the beginning of the show. I know she's still on. But Kai, happy birthday, girl. And I know she's probably she's a little under the weather today. But just wanted to make sure I, you know, said that during the show. Now, also, I want to remind you, next week we'll be back with our regular full show of Black on Black Crime. And we'll do it how we normally do it, and we'll have everybody back on. But just wanted to make sure that we covered what was going on in the world. And before we get out of here today, here's what I would like to do. I am going to give you a quick clip because, you know, I think that we, in our spirit of learning today, I like the song by KRS-One, so we're going to play Disaster Kit. I used to use it as a break for that, but I know it is hurricane season and all of that stuff coming up. So we're going to play Disaster Kit. I won't take a bump before we go into this, but I want to play this before we get out of here. And we're going to come back with more Black on Black Crime and hopefully wish Kaya happy birthday the right way when she comes back. And Kaya, if you're listening, you know, just hit us up and we'll bring you on because I'll have Kathleen sing happy birthday to you. I'm just joking. All right, so we'll be back after this. Karis won on this break for Disaster Kit.
Whatever Michael knows, we're going to survive that. Hold the shelter, we're going to find that. When you hear this sound, you know that I'm back. Hey, it's where I put your mind. When that disaster hit, don't you get trapped in it. You must always stay prepared with your disaster kit. In the club you might be drunken, so you may laugh at it. But when you sober up, you know it. Here's what you have to get. Stay prepared, never be fearful or even scared. These natural disasters cannot be compared. So rise and realize you will survive. In the meantime, prepare yourself with these supplies. Get coils of rope and coils of wire. In a waterproof container, put all your fire. Like matches and candles, and don't wear sandals. Get some hard boots and work gloves to handle the situation. Cause when disaster hits the nation, you and your family gonna need your medication. Antibiotics, aspirin, the chronic. Even health foods like vitamins and garlic. Pain relievers, inhalers and breathers. And make sure you got something that can take down a fever. A spray bottle of water with 10% bleach, so you can disinfect the objects you reach. And speaking of bleach, here's what I teach. Don't think that you could drink the water from the beach. You're gonna have to drink that water from your hood and purify your water to make sure it's all good. Put things in order. Put 8 drops of pure unscented liquid bleach into the water. Use only 8 drops for every 1 gallon you work in. You'll need about 5 gallons a person. With no water, things could get lethal. It's dehydration, not starvation, that kills people. So look for the water first. Don't be robbing and looting and stealing and killing. That'll only make things worse. Be smart, plan ahead. Save some cash, a radio, some gas, and some blow-up beds. Keep your disaster kit high on the shelf with your weapons. You might have to defend yourself. Get a flashlight, chemical light sticks, and hold that. A compass, some dry food, maybe a road map. Don't forget things like peroxide and Listerine, bandages and antihistamines, like Benadryl. So when things get ill, you will survive because you really got skill. You opened your eyes after you gotten your list of supplies. Check your attitude. Know that you're gonna survive. Whatever Michael knows, we're gonna survive that. Food, clothes, and shelter, we're gonna find that. When you hear this sound, you know that I'm back. Hey, it's where I put your mind at.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step 1. Gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good. Step 2. Keep those legs strong. And step 3. Don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters. Only...
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. Just want to take a quick break with Disaster Kit. I know we can never get enough instruction and information just in case we need it. So I want to put that on this program while we're giving out information today. You can, again, check us out in the archives. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. And you can find us at espryradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. Or you can check us out on BTR Ask Kathleen Network. Just Google and you can find it. Or don't use Google. Sorry. IX Quick, use something private as a search engine. Go find us. We're out here. Now, I just, you know, heard from our birthday co-host who's a happy, this is her 25th birthday. I don't know how many 25th birthdays she had, but I just want to wish our columnist and author, Kai, and co-host, Kai, happy birthday again. And she is battling the flu, and Kathleen, our commissioner, is a little bit under the weather as well. So you know how that goes. Some days you have shows like that, but, you know, we keep it moving, and we are and we go. So I want to thank everyone for coming in and for joining us. Thank you, Kathleen, for, you know, and battling being under the weather for coming in today and doing the show. Again, our show was pretty much dedicated to the passing of Madiba, the passing of one of the biggest spirits in our lifetime. And again, it is going to be a funeral of epic proportions on epic scale. He was loved by everyone in his country and in our country. Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, all those people who have passed as well, were big admirers of Nelson Mandela. So I want to make sure we did him the honor by using our platform and our forum to clear up some things about Nelson Mandela and say, hey, Nelson Mandela fought for freedom. He did not fight for peace, and we are not going to water that down on this program. All right, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for checking out Black on Black Crime. We'll see you again next week on ACN and on S3 Radio, 9 o'clock Mondays. All right, we'll see you later.